The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you so much for the shepherd's psalm. Truly, Lord, thank you for the sheep's psalm. And we thank you for your comfort, for your promise that if we'll but follow you, that we can dwell in your house forever. Amen. It's hard for us city slickers to imagine the labor involved in green pastures. And I will tell you that as I envision sheep, when I think of a sheep, I think of a sheep either standing, eating, or you know, the Sunday school pictures where the sheep are following the shepherd. That's my envision, that my picture of a sheep. And the closest I've ever been to one is at petting zoos. And I'm sure that the psalmist would just cringe at our idea of a sheep's pen. You know, what is it, a 12 by 12 foot pen set on asphalt or concrete someplace? No green pastures, no still waters. But I want you to know that when a shepherd looks at the flock, a standing flock or a moving flock means a loss of profit. What a shepherd wants is for a nice, fat, full flock of sheep doing what? Laying down, getting what? Fat. That's what the shepherd wants. And so what the shepherd would do is at about 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd get the sheep out grazing. Why so early? Because at that time of the day, the grass and the legumes are covered with dew. And the more of that dew the sheep can eat, the less they'll need water. And so the shepherd would get those sheep out early and get them eating and munching. And then as the heat of the day came, he would try to get them to go and lie down. And so it's hard for us to understand the importance of this. But I will tell you that shepherds of old knew. Let me show you in Ezekiel 34, verses 14 and 15. Ezekiel 34, verses 14 and 15 says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. You get the idea that there's more to this green pasture thing than just meets the eye. Spiritually, there's a lot more to it. Another verse, Jeremiah 33:12. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all its cities there shall be a dwelling place of shepherds, causing their flock to lie down. So a flock lying down is a very good thing, but it could only happen if there was a nice, fresh, green pasture. Now, if you're not yet a fan of Philip Keller, and I know that some of you are, His whole series of books on this subject matter are incredible. And Philip Keller was a pastor, a scientist, and a shepherd. So he writes from those three standpoints. And over the years, I have borrowed a lot of wisdom from him because I'm from Los Angeles. And, you know, haven't seen a lot of sheep in my lifetime, but Philip Keller has. Sheep require four things in order to lie down. First of all, they must be free from fear. Secondly, free from friction, and that means from amongst the rest of the flock. Free from pest, We're going to talk about some really gross pests tonight, so I apologize in advance. And free from hunger. Sheep are easily frightened, even by another's fear. And shepherds write about how as the flock moves along, perhaps just a bug on the ground will scare one lamb, and that lamb will jump in that spot. Well, what will every sheep behind that lamb do? Jump right in that spot. Do they know why they're jumping? No. They just know that there's something scary about that spot. And so the shepherds talk about the hilarity of watching their flock, you know, and they just get there, hop, hop, and the whole flock is just hopping right there, and they don't even know why. I'm glad that we're never like that. Keller talks about one time watching 200 of his sheep running furiously from a Pekingese dog that had hopped out of a car from some people stopped by to visit. They open the car door. This little Pekingese dog jumps out. Two fences over. What do the 200 resting sheep do? Jump up and stampede and run like their life depended upon it. Sheep do have much to be afraid of. Their natural enemies are dogs, cougars, coyotes, bears, and rustlers. And what do you suppose the only source of defense for the sheep is? The shepherd. If you guessed the shepherd, buy yourself a cup of coffee on the way home tonight because you guessed right. That's it. That is their only defense. Otherwise, in the absence of the shepherd, they are defenseless. Philip Keller lost 92 sheep in one night. 92. And, you know, I mean, it's a horrible investment to lose. One cougar, 92 sheep. So, free from fear. The presence of the shepherd is the only way that sheep are free from fear. And the lesson is obvious. Stay close to the shepherd. Amen? Secondly, sheep must be free from friction. Just as hens have an order, what's it called? Pecking order. Cattle have an order. What's it called? Any farmers here? What's it called? Horning order. Sheep have an order. And it's not very nice, but it's in the Bible. It's the butting order. The butting order. And again, we city slickers may not understand this. But let's look back to Ezekiel, because they understood this in Bible days. Ezekiel 34, verses 20 through 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Let's pause. Which is the preferable? Amen, the fat. That's right, because, if, you know. All right, verse 21. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Typically, who are the sheep do you think that do most of the butting? You think it's the little lambs? No. It's the old veterans. I'm glad that this doesn't apply to any of us either. I don't even know why I'm teaching this. Because none of us would do that. None of us would butt and horn and shoulder to get our own way around here. No way. Maybe at work. That has to be where we can apply this. Philip Keller says, without exception, that the sheep in his flock that were the healthiest, happiest, and among his favorites were the unaggressive ones who did not participate in the butting and shoving. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. And so free from friction. You know, we should go the extra mile to not be involved in friction. That I'm just coming from the bodyguard business. And one of the things that they teach over and over and over is avoid conflict. If it's at all possible, avoid conflict. The last thing you want to do is to create a conflict and get somebody angry, because then a situation will just get out of control. So the thing to do is just be nice and friendly and smile. And that's probably good advice for all of us. Thirdly, in order for sheep to lie down in green pastures and fatten up and make their shepherd happy, they need to be free from pests. As helpless as sheep are from huge, strong predators, they are equally as helpless from creepy, crawly bugs. Now, there's this gross, nasty thing that attacks sheep, and they're called nasal flies. And they're microscopic. You can't see them with the human eye, but what they do is they'll attack the nasal passage of the sheep. And that sheep's nose is very much like a human nose, but bigger. So, you know, think of all the products we have just to anyhow, the sheep's got it worse. But the sheep has no way of maintaining its nasal passage, except rubbing it in the soil and the dirt up against tree trunks and rocks. And you can just imagine what that does to all of that fleshy part of the sheep's face. If not treated, these pesky nasal flies will actually kill the sheep. Why? Because the sheep will get so distracted in fighting off this thing, it will forget to eat, it will forget to drink water, it will forget to rest. And so if a shepherd is careless and lets this go unattended, he could actually lose sheep over it. The other nasty thing about this thing is that these nasal flies are very contagious. And so in a matter of days, they can work their way through an entire flock of sheep. What does the shepherd do to treat his sheep? There was only one way then, and there's only one way now, and that's to apply salve and ointment to the nasal area of the sheep's face. And so in the Bible, how often do you read about, "He's the lifter of my head"? That's what the shepherd was doing. That's why he was constantly lifting up that silly sheep's head. Sheep don't want their head up, right? Where do they want it? Down where the food is. But the shepherd would go and he would have a satchel around him. Kind of like if you see backpackers carry those leather things that they put water in. And I'm sure that's water that they put in them. Yeah. And then they kind of have one of those over their shoulder. And then they would go and with oil, olive oil, with certain kinds of spices in it, they would go and they would anoint the flock. And then at nighttime, as the sheep came into the fold, also the shepherd would stop and then anoint each sheep in the each lamb in the flock. While most of the scripture is dealing with anointing, another's head is dealing with ceremonial or feast rituals. Doubtless, it had to be in the minds of these old Bible writers and the men of old. It had to be in their mind, all this anointing they were doing in the flock as well. And then fourthly, in order for sheep to lie down in green pastures, they must be free from hunger. In Israel, as with most sheep country, the air is dry and the terrain is sun-baked hills, brown. In fact, I've talked to many people who have lived in Israel, and interestingly, they say that Simi Valley and Thousand Oaks remind them a lot of the terrain in Israel. Now, I haven't been yet, and I'd love to go to the Holy Land. And I know I'm not talking about Ireland, I'm talking about Israel. But I would love to go and see it. But I'm told that it's like Simi Valley, like Thousand Oaks, like Agoura. It's hilly, it's dry, and it's brown. So grass didn't happen naturally. If you think about the promised land, the children of Israel were told that they were going to a place of, what are the two words? Milk and honey. So if you think about that, I always envisioned that they came over a rise and they looked out, you know. Wow, look, it's beautiful. And parts of it actually were. But not sheep country. Sheep country was not naturally milk and honey. But here's something that Philip Keller points out. Milk comes from, fill in the blank, and sheep. I never really thought about it. Cows eat grass. Very good. You guys are so good. Grass and legumes are pollinated by bees, make milk and honey. So much of the milk and honey was the result of the backbreaking labor of whom? The shepherd. Yeah. Something to keep in mind. That shepherding and that leading, that feeding people, it's hard work. It's hard work. And it should be hard work. And it should be labored over. And we should pour ourselves into preparation for when we stand before our classes, for when we stand before our ladies, you ladies ministry teachers, when we stand before our men, you guys that along with me have the privilege every now and then of speaking to the men, before our families, before our co-workers, we should labor. Well, the second part of verse 2 says, He leads me beside the still waters. You know, sheep are 70% water, and they need a lot of it. They need a lot of water. And so that is why, as I said before, the shepherd starts so early. Now, why do you suppose God would place these animals in dry areas and then require them to have so much water? Well, you know, in Scripture, the drinking of water often symbolizes accepting the Lord as Savior. Let's look at some of those verses. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In Revelation 21 and verse 6, And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And so, like green pastures, realize that still waters were also a labor of love from the shepherd to his flock. Sheep will not drink from fast-moving water. You know how the water comes over an eddy and in the white water, turns into white water? If you're a trout fisherman like I am, you know that at the end of that, there's trout. They love that. They love that. But sheep hate it. And they won't drink from fast-moving water. You know what they will drink from? Stagnant, nasty, dirty, rancid puddles of bug-infested water. They love it. So now, the poor shepherd, no wonder he was out front, right? He not only did he have to provide still water, but he had to provide fresh water. And so what he would do is he would go to a stream or to a river. And then, have you ever been, like up at the Kern River, have you ever been alongside a river where someone's taken the rocks and they've kind of piled the rocks out, you know, into the river? And so the river feeds this little pool that's much more still than the river, but it's still refreshing it. And that's what the shepherd would have to do. He would have to, at some point, get time away from the flock, and then he'd have to go and carry these stones one at a time and make the actual fresh water. Refreshed sheep are healthy sheep. And if sheep don't have enough water, this weird thing happens to them and they start to get toxic. And then they start to get sick. And then their immune system gets weak. So I think the obvious lesson here is refreshed sheep are happy sheep. Amen. You know, I think the point of making an animal to be a metaphor for our lost condition, so dependent on water and green pastures, was to remind us that we need the living water as well. And the living water is? Amen. So flock, refresh yourself and drink often at the well of living water. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your refreshment. Thank you for being such a good and great and faithful shepherd. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we know that you lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And some of us even tonight, Lord, are there. And so I just pray, Lord God, that you would touch us, Lord, and heal us. Heal families tonight, Lord, as we pray. God, I pray that as we come before you tonight in prayer, that you would literally touch bodies and heal them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.